Let us pray. Heavenly Father, merciful God, who sent your Son to rescue the world from sin and death, we join together in this coming new year to praise you for all the blessings of the past year. We do not deserve your gracious gifts because of our sins. Forgive what we have done wrong this past year for the sake of Jesus, on account of his life and death suffered for us. By your mercy, continue to send us your word, so that we may know the truth about sin, death, and our Savior, and have eternal life. Keep us faithful throughout this year as you bless us with word and sacraments. Grant that through us your name may be hallowed, your kingdom of grace come, and your good and gracious will be done. We pray this in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text chosen for this New Year's Eve service is written in the first chapter of St. Peter's first general letter, beginning at the 22nd verse, and reads as follows in Jesus' name. Peter says, "Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit, in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. Because all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as a flower of grass. The grass withers and the flower falls away, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Now this is the word which by the gospel was preached to you. This is your word, Heavenly Father. Sanctify them through your truth. Your word is truth. Amen." Your children of God about to enter in a new year. As we look back on the year 2018, there are many events that in our nation and in the world that have impacted us because of the news. The shooting of 17 people in Parkland School in February, the three-sided war in Syria, a number of airplane crashes in the world, the volcanoes in Guatemala and Hawaii that killed many, the fires in Greece and California which killed over 85 people each. In September, an earthquake in Indonesia killed 2,200 people, and the October hurricane in Florida was another tragedy. The murders of Khashoggi in Turkey and the 11 killed at the Pittsburgh synagogue. Civil unrest in France over gas price increases. And the list could be greatly expanded. If that looks bleak enough, one could say that the future looks bleak also. Scientists remain concerned about global warming and what it will do and affect our lives. Others fear a crash of the stock market, or simply our economy is going to down and there is nothing that we can do. Some others are warning about robots with artificial intelligence, which is taking over jobs. And so what are we going to do? How are we going to get any money or be able to live? There are plenty of things to worry about in the coming year if we really wanted to make a long list. Today, we are at a junction between the past and the future. The past year has shown us how God has blessed our lives, how he keeps his promise. And in the future, we can trust that God will take care of us in body and soul because he's promised to do so. Our future, then, is in God's hands. In him, we can trust. Let us examine our text from St. Peter so that we can know God's truth for a new year. From our text, there's two truths we want to present tonight. That is, the flower of man withers, and the seed of God's word endures forever. In our text, St. Peter quotes from the prophet Moses, who wrote Psalm 90. And in Psalm 90 is a good psalm to read at New Year's because it talks about so many people dying. If our lifespan is 70 years and maybe by the grace of God is not 80 years, Moses says it is full of sorrow and trial. Think of what Moses experienced. Over 40 years, 1.5 million people died. And if you divide that out, that's 100 funerals every year, every day. No wonder, Moses wrote, "All flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as a flower of grass. The grass withers and its flower falls away. This is the future of all people who are born in the world, and that includes you and I. You see, our real enemy is not global warming or the economy or a stock market crash or robots or famine or ill health. Our real problem is described in our text. As Moses said, the grass withers and the flower falls away. Sadly, people in this world worry more about life on earth than they worry about their real problem, that is sin and its consequences, which is death. The whole world testifies to the truth of the statement that all flesh is grass. Nothing lasts forever. Even the mountains and the pyramids in Egypt are subject to decay over the 4,000 years that the pyramids have been in existence. They still stand, but you can see the decay as the rocks tumble down. And because of that, we are to understand that we also are not going to last forever. The state that Moses talks about is, in the morning the grass flourishes and grows up, in the evening it is cut down and withers, for we are all consumed by your anger, O Lord. And as we look at the past year of ourselves, we need to understand that we too could be consumed by God's anger because of our sins. How many times has God seen us ignoring him and not listening to his word? How many times has God heard us misusing his name, either in cursing and swearing or a false oath? How many times have we failed to pray to him and cast all our care upon him, or failed to praise and thank him for all that he has given to us? How many times has God seen us sinfully worry about our finances or our health? How often has God seen us being angry towards fellow members or neighbors or other people, or belittling them with our thoughts or our lips? How many times has he seen us refusing to forgive one another, or being discontented with all that God gives us, or envious of our neighbors? All these things are sins, and God says, to those who are self-seeking, who do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man who does evil. Even if you and I could boast that we have kept the whole law and yet just broke it once, the Bible says we are guilty of all, and we are under God's wrath. We are worthy of eternal condemnation because of our sin. As we enter the new year, we also need to remind ourselves we are like that grass. It grows up and flourishes, but it's going to wither and fall away. Will we survive another year? Only God knows that. And he will be with us. But we need to ask ourselves, are we ready to meet God if this happens to be our last year on earth? Are we ready to stand before him with confidence, knowing our sins? Now, God is not under obligation to rescue us. God is perfectly just to condemn us for all of our sins, for all eternity, because that's what his law declares. However, God has another message, and that message is a truth about God himself, as the prophet Jeremiah said as he walked around Jerusalem. Jerusalem had been destroyed, and as Jeremiah walked around the walls that had been torn down, the buildings been gutted, the temple that had been burnt to the ground, he said, through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed, because his compassions do not fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness, O God. God's mercy and faithfulness is all what Christmas is all about. God was faithful in sending a son to be our Savior. God was faithful in keeping his promises. God was faithful in putting that son on the cross to suffer and die for our sins. He loaded on Jesus all of our sins, and Jesus was able to pay for them all. Not because only because God promised, but because Jesus is God, because he loved us and wants us to be with him in heaven. Not only has God sent us his son, but he also has sent us his word, as he promised. And it is that word in which we can have confidence in a new year. It is that word which is the seed of God that abides forever. In our text, St. Peter makes a startling contrast when he says, our lives flourish and then wither in death, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Now, this truth runs counter to our experience. We see the mountains and other things endure forever, and books fade away, and yet it's just the opposite. Jesus isn't talking about books. He's talking about his word. And he's saying the word endures forever because whatever God says, whatever he promises, will remain true forever. Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away, yet my word will not pass away. And so we are to understand that God's truths and promises will last forever. Even if everything falls apart in this new year, even if the last day happens and the universe is destroyed. Jesus also said, your word is truth. And St. Paul answers what this means. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, that is, breathed by the Holy Spirit. And again, Peter declared, holy men spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. And so we understand that the word of God, which is in the Bible is the word of God. We understand that that word is God's word. Yes, men wrote it down, but the Holy Spirit moved them with the words that they were to write, gave them the information they were to have so that we might have it. And we are to understand then that God's word is his name. When we say, hallowed be thy name, it's talking about the Bible, what God has revealed about himself. And we're to glorify God by believing it, as Luther said. We need to know the word because God tells us the truth about sin, about death, and about our salvation. All of that is part of what Bible's message of the Bible that we need to hold on to into the new year. Everything else may change in our life, but not God's word. It remains stable. It's our anchor in the word and in the world. So the question for us tonight as we begin a new year concerns life, sin, death, and eternity. Do we trust the scientist and the educator and the archaeologist and the reporter to know the spiritual truths that will get us to heaven? Or do we trust that God's word is truth? And this is not a rhetorical question. St. Paul says, let God be true, but every man a liar. It is important to us, it's vital to us to recognize God's word, to read it, to study it, to know it, so that we can have confidence for us in the new year about what God promises to do for us, what he gives us and offers us in prayer, and what he promises to do throughout our life to help us, to provide for us, but also to provide for our soul. Isaiah said, you who seek the Lord, look to the rock from which you were hewn. My righteousness is near. My salvation has gone forth. The rock that Isaiah is talking about is God's word. Peter talks about it in our text. You have been born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. God's word, then, is the seed of life. Whenever we hear it, God's Holy Spirit is planting the seed of the word into our hearts, where it grows and produces much fruit. But it's that seed that produces faith, helps us to grow in faith, helps us to be confident that God is true, that he will not desert us, that he is faithful, that he will keep his promises. It tells us about our new life, our spiritual life. It assures us that our sins are forgiven. It brings us the forgiveness of sins through word and sacrament, and it gives us eternal life. This is what happened at her baptism. This is what assured it to us in our Lord's Supper. And this is what is given, presented to us in his word. So if we are to have a blessed new year, if we are to be confident about our future, if we are to purify our souls in obeying the truth, we need to continue in God's word. We have this promise from our Savior. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, then you will know the truth and the truth will make you free. And he's talking about freedom from sin, from death, and from Satan. What will give us the most security and joy in this life? It isn't a big bank account. It's faith in God's word. Then we can have confidence in the future. So, what is your goal in the new year? Have you set resolutions? Are there things that you want to accomplish this coming year? Let us hear from our text what Peter says we are to be about. Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit, in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart. To obey the truth means to believe in Jesus as their Savior. And through that faith, the Holy Spirit gives us strength to love one another, to produce genuine care for other people, and both for members and those outside of the church. So when we enter the new year, we don't need to ask, what's in it for me? Rather, we should ask, how can I show Christ's love and concern for others? What neighbor can I visit or help? How can I comfort someone? Do I know people who need to hear the message of Christmas, the message of Jesus, of salvation, so that they too can be included in the new year in faith in Jesus? What will happen in the year ahead? I don't know. A lot of guesses, but God knows. We don't have to worry about it. We're in God's hands. He will give us everything that we need for our body and soul. He will keep us in his care as we pray in the Lord's Prayer. And he will bless us with the things that we need. We also know that God's word will always tell us the truth, that God will be always with us, and that he will take us to heaven if we die. May the Lord bless us as we enter in the new year with confidence and faith, hope, and joy. Amen. Let us rise for the blessing. The peace of God which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Jesus Christ. Amen.